It has been said that laughter is good medicine. This idea comes from the Bible, like all the rest of the good ideas do. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine." Laughter is just part of the human experience. It weaves its way through our conversations and our cultures. But beneath the surface of a simple laugh lies complex cognitive processes combined with emotional responses. Psychologically speaking, laughter is not a laughing matter. Why we find certain things funny offers profound insights into how our minds work. It sheds light on our mental and emotional condition. For instance, people who laugh at dark humor usually have gone through several traumatic experiences. They usually have a higher than normal intelligence, and they usually have dominant personalities. Laughter has a lot of positives. The biggest positive is that it's a stress reducer and it improves our moods. Laughter triggers the release of endorphins, which elevates our mood. Humor can make stressful situations seem a lot less overwhelming. Humor plays a vital role in our connection with others. Sharing a laugh with others can create a sense of friendship. It can strengthen bonds and foster feelings of closeness. It can break down barriers, ease tension in social situations, and make us more likable and approachable. People tend to really like others who laugh easily. Humor can contribute to increased resilience and coping skills. The ability to laugh in the face of adversity can be a powerful coping mechanism. Laughter can allow us to maintain a sense of perspective and hope during challenging times. It can help us to distance ourselves emotionally from difficult situations as we find moments of levity in them. Humor has been linked to improved cognition and problem solving. Humor gives us the ability to see things from a different perspective and to make unexpected connections. It helps us form more creative and adaptive thinking. Research suggests that there are health benefits associated with laughter, such as it boosts our immune system, it improves our cardiovascular health, and sometimes it can relieve pain. There is a connection between a positive mental state and physical well-being and laughter. But despite its many benefits, laughter can be a negative. It can be used to belittle, exclude, or to harm others with sarcasm. It can be used to mock. It can lend itself to offensive jokes. Humor that targets vulnerable groups or relies on stereotypes perpetuates prejudice, and it can cause a hostile environment. Every once in a while, I get stuck on a question. And the question I got stuck on this week is, what makes something funny? I'm not alone. For centuries, philosophers and psychologists have grappled with the question of what makes something funny. I don't know, maybe we all need a hobby. One of the earliest theories on what makes us laugh is called the relief theory. This theory says laughter serves as a release to relieve pent-up tension. Sigmund Freud claimed that humans evolved to laugh instead of punching each other in the face. Another theory as to why we find things funny is called the superiority theory. We find humor in the misfortunes, flaws, and mistakes of others because, in comparison, it makes us feel superior. Think of those slapstick comedies where someone slips on a banana peel. According to this theory, laughter stems from the feeling of not being the one who fell. Relatedly, Plato and Aristotle believed that laughter was a way of expressing triumph over others. Perhaps the most widely accepted theory today about why we laugh is called the incongruity theory. This perspective suggests that humor arises from something unexpected happening, from something that's illogical or out of place. In short, the funniness of something stems from being surprised. Laughter is where we find Abraham and Sarah today. They laugh not because they find something funny, but because of disbelief. Now, who can blame Abraham and Sarah from laughing out of disbelief? God had promised them a son many years before they finally broke down and laughed at the idea. At first, this promise filled them with hope. Later, this idea was laughable. The laughable things were Sarah had been infertile their whole marriage, and now she is well past childbearing age. What's crazy to me is Sarah is the one who gets a bad reputation for laughing, but Abraham laughed first. Oh yeah, he laughed first. Read your Bible. In Genesis 17, 15 through 17, and God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall become nations. Kings of people shall come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said to himself, "Shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? Shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" God's conversation with Abraham is so funny to him that he fell on his face laughing. It isn't until a full chapter later that Sarah laughs. Reading from Genesis 18, 10 through 12. The Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure?" When Sarah realizes that God knows that she laughed, she's afraid and she does what I might do if God busted me. She lies. In Genesis 18:50, we read this, "Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, 'I did not laugh.' But God said, 'Yes, you did laugh.'" Honestly, I cannot imagine not laughing at this news or crying. Pick one. There is a significant difference between Abraham's laughing and Sarah's laughing. These two instances of laughter reveal different attitudes and responses to the Lord. They reveal different levels of faith. When Abraham laughed, he laughed, one, because he thought God's statement was legitimately funny. I mean, it is funny. However, there is something else behind his laughter. There's joy and wonder. He laughed out of being happily surprised. That goes to our incongruity theory. This would be like the girl who does not know her boyfriend is going to propose. When he gets down on one knee, opens the ring box, and pops the question, she laughs. Why? Not because she thinks it's funny, but because she's surprised. It's a happy surprise. Because God does not rebuke Abraham, I feel certain that Abraham isn't laughing at God, but from being happily surprised, like the girl in our proposal story. Plus, old people having babies is funny. Take it from Jim and me. We're still laughing. Ha, ha, ha. When Sarah laughed, she laughed because she was being cynical. It was a scoffing laugh. It was a dismissive laugh. She thinks God is absurd for even suggesting that two old people were going to have a baby. This is not a laugh she wants anyone to hear because she laughs silently. Remember, this is what Sarah and Abraham have wanted all of their lives. They desperately wanted a child of their own. Yet Sarah laughs when she hears it's finally going to happen. Let's take the opposite reaction to our proposal story. The girl doesn't know her boyfriend is going to propose. When he gets down on one knee, opens the ring box, and pops the question, she laughs. Why? Not because she's happy, because she doesn't really love him and she thinks a guy is stupid. In laughing, Sarah committed one of the least confessed sins, the dismissal of God. This wasn't the open rejection of an atheist. This wasn't the angry defiance of a rebel. This was the quiet, casual dismissal of God. Dismissing God is more common than we think. Yet, rarely do we name it for what it is. And we can dismiss God in countless ways. We dismiss him by being too busy to dwell upon his word. We dismiss him by thinking what he wants to do is not really going to work in the real world. We dismiss him by thinking we're too sophisticated to believe in the stories of the Bible. I'm too smart to believe that stuff. We dismiss him because of inner pain. If God existed, this wouldn't have happened. We dismiss him because we view him as irrelevant. Well, God might matter for Sunday mornings, but not for the rest of the week. Each dismissal is a small rebellious act of dethroning God. Scripture is filled with dismissals. Adam and Eve dismissed God's warning about the fruit. Jonah dismissed God and ran in the opposite direction from Nineveh. The disciples dismissed Jesus' predictions about his own death. Thomas dismissed the resurrection until he could see and touch Jesus' wounds for himself. And in our text today, Sarah dismisses God through her laughter. What is remarkable is how God responds to our dismissals. He doesn't bring down the hammer. He often responds with persistence, patience, and often understanding of our human weakness. Psalms 103:14 says, "He knows how weak we are. He remembers we are only dust." Why do we dismiss God? Sometimes it's out of self-protection because we could get hurt if we really believe God said something and it doesn't happen. Sometimes it's out of intellectual integrity. We can't reconcile God's ways with our understanding of the world. And sometimes it's out of emotional exhaustion. We're too tired, hurt, or disillusioned to believe anymore. Sometimes it's out of habit. We've drifted into practices that exclude God from our decision-making. Sometimes it's out of freedom. We prefer to be our own boss instead of submitting to God's will. Understanding these reasons doesn't excuse dismissal, but it does help us identify them and then work them out. Dismissal is a human response to the Lord because we just can't bring ourselves to believe that God understands why we're so hurt. We can't bring ourselves to believe God really cares about what we're going through. But God isn't threatened by our dismissals. God isn't thrown by our disbelieving laughter. God can work in us even though we have dismissed him or laughed at him. He is not threatened. He isn't thrown. He isn't easily dismissed. Our God uses all things, as Romans 8:28 says. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. I think God is pretty accustomed to being dismissed, yet he continues to pursue a relationship with us. The fact is, even though we have been guilty of dismissing God, he never finally dismisses us. He is always there, waiting, even when we have dismissed him. Fast forward to Genesis 21. The promise has come to pass. Sarah, who is now 90 years old, gave birth to a son. We read this in Genesis 21, 1 through 3 and 6. The Lord visited Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. And Sarah said, "God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me." Sarah's cynical laughter becomes the laughter of joy. Not only that, but everybody else gets to laugh with joy with her. The laughter that questioned God's promise became the laughter that celebrated God's promise. The baby is even named Laughter. That's what Isaac means. Did you know that? Isaac means laughter. God turned Sarah's mourning into laughter. He changed her weeping into joy. And now they have this little boy whose name is literally Laughter. Every time she calls his name, she will remember laughing for joy when he is born. There is something really profound about this event. Sarah's body, which was way past the age of natural conception, defied biology. What seemed impossible from a human standpoint became reality through divine intervention. This is not a magic trick. It's the physics of the impossible made possible by God. What impossible situation are you facing today? What promise seems too good to be true? What circumstances are causing you to laugh in cynical disbelief rather than in joyful anticipation? Sarah's journey from cynicism to faith reminds us that God often works outside of the margins of human possibility. He delights in doing what we can't. He delights in accomplishing what we've given up on. He delights in transforming our cynical laughter into a joyous celebration. The same God who asked Sarah, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" asks you the same question today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The same God who turned Sarah's laughter from doubt to joy stands ready to do the same for you. I pray we move from the laughter of disbelief to the laughter of faith, from the laughter of resignation to the laughter of anticipation, from the laughter of cynicism to the laughter of joy. For our God specializes in the impossible. He delights in the miraculous, and he finds pleasure in turning our tears into laughter. I was halfway through our first pregnancy when the baby died. It turns out I was allergic to Jim's DNA, which helped make up half of the baby. That's quite an allergy, isn't it? My body saw the baby as an invading threat and rejected it. In order to maintain future pregnancies, I had to be on the same anti-rejection drugs as heart transplant patients. As it was, Zach survived on a hope and a prayer. And I was in bed for most of the pregnancy, taking those anti-rejection meds. Because of my body's attempt to reject him, he was born 6 weeks early. And by the time I got pregnant with Zeb, I had built up an immunity to Jim, so no anti-rejection drugs were required. The baby was a girl. She is the reason we have the kids we do today. It was because of her we found out about my little rejection problem. I've come to see her in a way as the hero of our family. If she had survived, you would have known her as Hannah. What? No Z name? That was before we got to that. There wasn't any laughter in the weeks that followed her death and birth. You know, the way it's supposed to go is people are supposed to be born and then they die. Well, it was the other way around for Hannah. There were a lot of tears following her death and birth. The babies who followed Hannah were all boys. We even adopted a little boy on purpose. But as I got older, I secretly wondered what it would have been like to have a girl. Well, I told myself, I don't think I could really raise a girl. I'm more of a boy mom. I'm sure I am. But I couldn't help but secretly wish for a little girl. When Vivi came to us, I got the last laugh. It was a laugh God sent from heaven. Like Sarah's last laugh, it was a laugh of pure joy. And I'm not the only one who laughed. Amy is going to show a video of baby Vivi and Dana. We're in a restaurant, and it's noisy, so you're going to have to listen closely. Yes, God turns our sorrows into joy and our tears into laughter. God is good, even though we go through some painful times. And in those painful times, there isn't much laughter. But when God gives to us, we can laugh with joy. I hope you'll find that as your experience, my friend.